Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to the podcast. This is the Brown Load with Kedge.
Hello.
With Satch.
Hello, mate.
And the blood relative of Miss Universe.
You beat me to it. I was going to say.
Just call me Mr. Universe. That's all it is. That's all it is.
There's celebrations in the Sandhu household.
Sandhu household. Listen, there is. She's from Punjab. She's from Chandigarh. She's Miss Universe.
Of course she is. I thought you were going to say, oh, she's from Gujarat.
the only Sandhu family
that's been discovered in the villages of Gujarat.
Yeah, I gotta say, she doesn't have any of the traits any of the Sandhus have, i.e. the big nose, the big build, the big eyes.
She's got the beauty.
Well, anyway, this I just thought we'll start by just giving her a little big up. That's all it is.
Of course.
Big up for, because also, get this, she's the first Indian to win it since the year 2000 when Lara Dutta won it. And this girl, Harnaz Sandhu, who is Miss Universe, was born in the year 2000.
Although her name does suggest that she should have the Sandhu nose, isn't it? Because it's Harnaz. Nas could mean nose. It's like every nose. Harnaz.
I thought it was more like, you know, she was destined to fail because she's Harna. And is it Harna? Yeah, Harna is losing, isn't it?
Harna.
Sandhu. Well, there was no hardening for her because she's a winner. And now, you know what? But I've got to say, so is it Sushmita Sen was Miss Universe, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Lara Dutta. Yeah, I mean, just saying she's now going to break Bollywood. She's going to break Bollywood. I don't think they go on to really do like amazing.
I think there was this one called Yukta Mukhi as well back in the day. I don't know if she was Miss Universe or she just missed Miss World.
She sounds like she's a shot put champion. She sounds like Fatima Whitbread is up against Yukta Mukhi.
Yukta Mukhi. Hold on. I don't know how I remember this. Yukta Mukhi. Let's have a look. Quick one. But Yukta Indalal Mukhi was. She was Miss World. There we go.
Okay.
Miss World. Okay. Not Universe. Sorry, didn't get
Yuki
that.
Mukhi.
Yuki Mukhi.
Yeah. Do you know what? I saw a little bit of the Miss World clip because it came up on Twitter today, and it was about the actual scene where they announced that she won it.
Oh, yeah. They're holding hands.
I don't know. The whole thing just looked a bit naff to me. I was just like, it looks boring. I can't believe.
I can't believe in the woke world that we live in.
Yeah.
And where, you know, equality and
you're right.
Women empowerment. Why does this still go on? Real talk here. It's just based on looks. No one cares how many. No one cares how many doves you're going to release.
No, it's not even that, Kedge. They have to do that speech thing where they have to.
No one cares how much humanitarian.
The judges care. The judges listen to that. Judges are monitoring
rubbish.
It on.
It's rubbish because you. What? So if I went in there with a paper bag over my face and I gave the best speech.
You do better with the paper bag not on your face. That's for sure.
but do you know what I mean? If I gave a better speech than Mahatma Gandhi and you know Luther King, I mean
Martin Luther King, I love the middle name.
in that speech it's just all a bit, it's generic, it's as if they've just read it off the internet.
What else can you say? I mean, you know, I
it's,
mean
it's a Facebook post,
the world
it's
leaders a Facebook
post. Yes, it's I it's mean, one of them in your bio you've got laugh live lo- something else love
yeah. love
I mean and then did what does that mean
did you see so who's that host again? A famous fella.
Oh, Steve Harvey. Yeah, he's brilliant. Yeah.
He's brilliant.
So did you see what he asked her to do?
Oh, no, I didn't. Well, go on. What do you mean ask her to do?
He goes, we hear you do great impressions of animals. He asked this Sandhu lady, and she went, And she was like, oh, I wasn't expecting you to say this to me. And he was well, can you do an impression of a cat? And she had to just go, meow. And she just went on for ages and her hand went into the and I'm like, what century are we living in?
Was it a good cat?
I mean, I closed my eyes and it was a very good cat because it was like elongated kind of screech and then her hands went into the cat pose. And I'm just like, hold on a minute. This is 2021. Yeah. And we're getting women to stand on the stage making cat noises. I tell you what
that reminds me of, that scene in Coming to America where to prove a point about how, you know, he doesn't want a second-rate wife. He doesn't want like a second-class citizen as a wife. He kind of goes, so you'll do anything I say. Remember that scene? And he goes, goes, oh!
Yeah, I remember that.
You're right. It sounds like the same thing. It's kind of patronizing, a little bit demeaning. But what I'm saying is there are different categories because it's not only like what their speech is like. They also judge kids, you want to know, for balance on their looks in their traditional clothing and their looks in swimwear as well.
Of course there is. The swimwear round is the most famous round. Everyone remembers that. I mean, that's what I remember watching when I was growing up.
Are you against it then, Kedge? Are you making a moral stand?
No, I'm not making a moral stand. I'm just saying that in 2021, you're getting women to like purr like cats on the stage. And it is purely based on looks. And so therefore, you know, because at the moment, everything is against, you've got to embrace all your scratches and your marks and your birthmarks and this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, we're judging on who's looking the most perfect. So again, do you know what I mean? I'm just being real talk about it. It feels like it doesn't fit in the world at the moment.
And not only that, but then I think if you say that, potentially, we're not far away from saying all racing, all competition. Like I told you, was it Logan's Sports Day or Milo Sports Day? They didn't have winners and losers. They just kind of celebrated everybody. Everybody got a medal at the end of it.
But I just think that's the way the world's going. You know, in a world like that, Tottenham might win a title.
One thing at a time, Kedge. Steady on.
There'll always be losers. Sorry, Kedge.
And it's important.
So speaking of losers, the thing I came across, and I think it kind of fits in quite perfectly as we're going for it already. It's about this chocolate firm called Tony's Chocolonely. You must have seen their
Tony's.
Tony, it's basically like a chocolate bar that I think no one really buys. It's got like a bright orange background. It's got like blue writing on it, and it sort of looks like
the Willy Wonka.
Can you see it? It's like that.
Oh yeah,
it's
like
big brand. Writing on it. It's got big writing on it.
Looks like it says Tony.
It's Tony, mate. You can't.
Tony's.
Tony.
So anyway, back to this chocolate company. They put out for the first time this year they put out an advent calendar because they're growing, you know, they're getting into more shops. Yeah. People went out and bought advent calendars for their kids. And they actually thought that they would teach people a lesson in their advent calendar. So what they did was on the 8th of December, if you bought that advent calendar and you opened the door, there was no chocolate in the advent calendar on the 8th of December.
Oh,
because the company said that on the 8th of December, they were going to educate the consumers about inequality in the chocolate industry. So they thought, sod it, we're going to put a chocolate in. But then they were quite nice. And on the 9th, they put in two. But on the 8th, when the kids opened their advent calendar, uproar. People were crying. Kids were crying. All the parents were complaining, saying, how do you make an advent calendar with nothing in it? But then I was thinking about it and I was like, I think that's quite a good lesson because you're not going to get what you want in life
every
day. And I thought that is actually quite, and I even thought about it. I was like, maybe they shouldn't have given two on the 9th because some days you've just got to take your losses and move on, right?
Yeah.
In fact, the 9th should have had teeth marks in it or someone else has eaten it.
So you got off.
Just a wrapper.
Yeah.
Because that would have hurt more.
So you got kicked twice then.
Yeah. No, and then the 10th should have been a picture of a piece of chocolate. Like, just when you think life is going to get a little bit better, it kicks you in the nuts one more time.
No, I think that's
and then,
a bit.
And then the 11th, they should have had a stone in the wrapper.
I think, look, going back to this advent calendar, what they've done.
No, but wait for it. Then on the 13th, which is unlucky for some, you get 5-6 pieces of chocolate. In fact, you don't get a Tony's, you get a Cadbury's. Because let's face it, that's what you want in a
No, but it's just, I just thought, do you know what? I thought they actually did something quite good. And I thought this is a good lesson to teach.
But did they tell the people beforehand, oh, by the way, on your 8th day of Christmas, you know, building
no,
up to it.
No, I think they've done something all right, because it's just like, yeah, okay, cool. On the eighth day, we won't give you one, but we'll give you two on the ninth. So it's not like you're out of pocket or anything.
No, I like, you know what? And I like this. And actually, coming back to even what you were saying, Kedra, oh, you know, in this day and age, in this woke generation, you kind of have beauty pageants. Actually, people are better looking than other people. And people will look at better looking people. No, they are. I'm not saying everybody doesn't have a talent or everybody doesn't have a beauty. And actually, you and I know, right? We all know that actually people that are beautiful on the outside, it's one thing. But actually, yeah, that can quickly wear off if there's not a warmth or a spark or a personality. And actually, personally, if you ask me, I think what makes people attractive isn't their looks. It's something else. It's the way they kind of
go. So then,
but what I'm saying is, the world is a bit unfair.
You've kind of explained it well, because the advent calendar looks lovely. Like, it looks like a really nice, expensive one. Yeah. You know, it looks great on the outside. You open it up, nothing in there.
It's
like a swimming pool, isn't it? From up above, when you're on it, like, say, if you're like sort of hovering above it, it looks beautiful because it's shimmering and everything. But actually, if you realize that when you get in there and it's not deep and there's no depth, then you can't do somersaults in there. So it's boring. You can only actually put your ankles into it because it's shallow. So that's what like you said, it's got to have depth.
Yeah, I think so. Pretty people, good looking people, are like puddles.
Shallow swimming pools.
Paddling pools. The worst part of this is that, you know, people were kind of saying, oh, you know, my 8-year-old daughter was crying the day that she opened her calendar and she didn't really get anything. Then they started attacking the brand, saying, you know, we're paying so much money, you can put in more chocolates. But it just goes back to this whole thing of like,
everyone's quick to complain.
No, it's not even that. I just think it's like, I think it's a good lesson. You don't need to give more. Just give what you need to give, isn't it? Which is what they're doing. But people want more.
I agree. I think actually in this world, actually there's so much for kids, for people to consume. I ain't going to lie. My boys have got, I think, 3 advent calendars each. Right, I'll tell you why.
In case if one of them's a Tony's, they can open another window just to get...
We got them one, right? My sister dropped round one. And the other one is one which has got little toys in it, because they're crazy about these fidget things have taken over as well. These poppers. What are they called? Not poppers. Yeah, that's something else to make.
Yeah. Poppers. Well, it depends. Fidget spinners or the poppets.
That's it. Yeah. Poppers are something else, aren't they? Poppers. They don't do poppers. Yeah, right.
Poppets were the chocolates that you get in a small box.
I think advent calendars this year are a bit naff, though, aren't they? I've not really seen anything where I'm like, oh wow, that actually looks pretty good.
You're not looking in the bougie. There's a lot of people on Insta stories putting up the bougie Instagram stories.
Do people still do that? Post their present every day.
Yeah, so I know somebody who's doing get some sort of beauty products. There's another one who's putting up alcoholic drinks. Different types of beers. Oh, yeah. It's just you're not looking at the bougie side of it.
Sam. Oh, okay. Sorry, mate.
There are Desi ones.
It's not my lifestyle.
There's Desi advent calendars, which have got like Butterfree Materi and all those little things in it.
Brilliant.
Really?
People have done those.
I want the one that you pull out and you just keep pulling out that big Buratani. Just keep coming out of that door. Imagine that. Beautiful.
I think there's something in that then. Next year, we've got to do the Gujarati advent calendar.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gujaratis would be perfect because of all the snacks. You guys are snack kings.
So there'll be a lot of snacks.
I think Cofresh. Cofresh should just do a different crisp behind every door.
Oh, my God. If you listen to this podcast, there's so many ideas that we give to people. Why are people not doing this and becoming millionaires on the back of us?
I love it. Just kind of coming out of the crap.
It just could be specifically for like... So the first one could be like, you know, like a pack of Jera. Next one could be a gel for your hair. The third one could be, you know, just the essentials.
Oh, you mean actual like, other thing?
Gel for your samosas. Yeah.
Actually, not, exactly. Right, no. Like a little bit of mustard oil.
Exactly. You know,
just rub a bit of this on. Oh, a little bit of another type of oil. You know, give a couple of different oils.
Ooh, little tubs of like haldi.
Exactly.
But, I mean, come on.
Okay. Then in that case, it could even be 24 odd different sort of
masala
drink Fancy. Shots of yeah. things that drinks, or yeah, things yeah. you put into your masala tea. So you're gonna go get some hot water because it's morning time. You think I don't want a chocolate or a sweet in the morning. That's why I don't have advent calendars. So, but if I had like one was cardamom and lychees,
you know,
like,
tea bags.
Yeah,
it could be anything.
But the raw spice mix of it.
If I opened it up and I got like a Vicks Vapo rub out of it, I'd be happy.
Oh,
like, yeah, essential, mate.
I'd say that for Christmas Day.
Exactly. There you go.
You have to pay extra for the rub at the end if you want it, if you want that one. It's a little bit more. But I do think kids don't want for much. Okay, so this weekend, for example, it was Logan's birthday, right? I said all over the weekend. It was his birthday just on the Saturday. But on the Saturday, we had a party for the family. So we had all the kids went to like a little jump place. Then they came back here and then a load of people had pizza and we hung out here and had drinks and things like that. On a Sunday, he had like his kids party with his mates at school. And then after that, he just mullered. And you know what? Out of all of the whole weekend, my missus organised everything, by the way, and I was just there to kind of...
Did you know it was your boy's birthday this weekend?
I did know it was his birthday weekend. But you know, I'll be honest, I'm not very organised. I was a bit of a letdown to the kind of details of it all. I kind of got a little bit of a telling off, actually, at the end of the weekend you could have stepped up and done a bit more. And actually, she's 100% right. But you know when you think someone else is, they've got it all, they're handling it all.
Yeah.
So you kind of, you hang back. And then, but apparently I should not have hung back. I expressed perhaps that she should have given me feedback as we were going along, like an ongoing appraisal.
You're like those sort of football players, like Dele Alli, who needs the constant sort of managerial guidance. Talent is there. The talent is there, but it just needs to be brought out and keeps going. Right, go here now. Do this. Do that.
I need to be reminded of my role a little bit. Yeah, my place in the team.
Know your role.
I think there wasn't a half-time team talk. And
correct.
She actually argued that actually there shouldn't really be a need for a half-time team talk because I should be part of the managerial team. I should know.
Yeah, I'm not your mum.
No, exactly. And, you know, in fact, she did everything with the boy. And look, so full respect to everybody holding their parties and weekend plans and festivities and all that together. But my point was, actually, out of all of that, the one thing I did do off my own initiative was I put a football and a basketball into the boot of the car when we went to the party. The hall that we had, basically it's a local sports hall and you can hire go-karts. They're amazing. Just ones, little kids ones that they can whiz around this massive sports hall. That's what they did. But I took a football because then they clear it away. And I've been to parties there before. And you know what? Kids were going mad for the football.
Well, so I think you've redeemed yourself then.
No, I didn't. Because
you created the biggest fun moment.
Yeah, but Kedge, if I turn around and go, yeah, but who put the football in the car?
At the end of the day, what's the hardest thing to do on a football pitch? Score a goal. Right? Now, what is the hardest thing to do at a children's birthday party? Get them all engaged and actually get on with their stuff and not actually do your nutting. You provided that. You were the goal scorer. You were the Cristiano Ronaldo. 19th minute.
I'll be honest. Right now, the three of us sat together. I feel like a lion. I feel confident. But if she was here right now, I'd turn to a Billy. I'd turn to proper Billy. I'd be like, I'd be doing the cat impressions like the other.
Oh, you'd be her nice Sandu.
But maybe also, you know, you look at the food and they've got pizzas and all this stuff. And I thought, God, you know, our times have changed. I used to want to have the dorky playing at a kid's family party. I told you
this. Only Tommy, sorry. That is the most the most craziest. Not one person listening to the podcast now wanted a dorky being played at their seat.
Dorky meant party time. My point is, we'd have like sandwiches, sausage rolls, and it'd just be cheese and ham sandwiches made at home, nothing fancy, nothing different for the adults. The adults have their roti shorty maybe later on. And I think those were the days. It actually doesn't take a lot for a kid.
But just as you said that, Tommy, like, I'll be happy with a spread like that now as an adult. Couple of sandwiches.
Yeah, but I don't understand. But what is it now? What's caviar now?
He was saying pizzas, wasn't he? That's a bit fancy.
It's pizza from Papa John's, right? But obviously, you know.
Yeah, but pizza's become a standard thing now. I think that's like the base level of the. Yeah, I mean, obviously, there has to be some sort of evolution. They can't still have sticks with pineapple and cheese on it.
Oh, no, I'm happy with that. Exactly. Yeah, what's wrong with that? That's taking it back to the old school.
There's certain things like I used to love. I used to love those animal biscuits. They were Cadbury's.
You still get them?
They were shaped like animals. Yeah, you still get them, but you're right. But back in the day, I loved them. And the numbers ones, they had numbers on them as well.
Yeah.
Just something about them at a party because we wouldn't get them at home.
Ice rings.
No, the ones I don't like, and I don't know if they're still available. Ice gems. What were they all about?
Beautiful. Except for now, because they're not allowed to put the colouring in. They look like they're all pastel colour ones. Back in the day when we were little, they were solid blue, solid pink, solid yellow. But I think they're obviously some illegal colouring.
I don't like the ice rings. The icing on the ice rings looks like nail varnish. Looks like, you know, like a fake nail. You know when it cracks.
Love that. Oh, come on, that's all. It's all about sugar back then, wasn't it? That's why.
It's yeah. ranked. Anyway, so it's simple things. I think all you want for Christmas, all you want for birthday are simple presents.
Well,
so
you squeezed in a party, because is that going to happen soon? What's the latest?
We're in the midst of the COVID second, well, not second, but just the wave, isn't it? It's a massive sort of...
Level four
is what Boris came out with the emergency speech over the weekend. Level four, get yourself boosted. And the wave is coming for this Omicron. And you know what? It's a little bit confusing. Because like, well, he's been banging on that. Oh, you know, we need to get everyone boosted. The wave is coming and all of that. And yet we still haven't got social distancing measures put in place. Do you see what I mean? Like, that's not a thing yet. You don't have to social distance. Like, so over the weekend, there was obviously the Jingle Bell Ball and all of that kind of stuff. And people were going in there and, you know, you sit down, you take your mask off and go for it. So in the COVID soup.
Yep.
And that's it. So, but
I went and saw Paul Chowdhury. There was people wearing masks on the way in. No one even asked you to wear a mask in there. Yeah. And everybody had their masks off.
Because obviously Omicron is too busy watching Paul Chowdhury as well, so it's not going to infect you while you're watching the show. But it will be awake again when you start moving to go and get your coke.
I think it was like the busiest weekend for just being out and about. Like everywhere I went this weekend is like as if they crammed in extra tables to fit people in. It was just like, let's just stuff them in.
Yeah, because I think Christmas, they've advised for Christmas parties to be cancelled. Mm. And it's, you know, everyone's working from home now in the UK. If you can do your job from home, do that. I would, if I was a train driver, I'd say, yeah, absolutely. I can do my job from home. I could just sit here, pretend to drive something and, you know, have the music in the background. And I'd be like, yeah, I can't go to work either. But I just think that, you know, it's a weird time we're in again, because we don't know where we're going, you know.
Yeah. I think with this one, coming back to the Boris point, I think what they're relying upon is the vaccine and boosters. So he's hoping now, like, look, he's saying, so you're right, they haven't put in social distancing measures.
Yeah.
Because they're saying, go get the booster. Like, let's not close the country down again. Yeah. Just get ready to fight this, defend yourself, rather than run away from
it. But I've got to say, with the booster, because obviously I had it last Tuesday when I saw you boys at Tommy's house, and I was relatively fine. I seemed all right that evening. I was okay. The next day, though, I felt like I was hallucinating. I was in a different world. I thought I was in the metaverse already.
Oh, that's man. Wow. I want to be there.
What do you mean? What were you thinking?
I don't know. It was a difficult thing to kind of explain. He couldn't
lift his hand up for a start.
Yeah, I couldn't lift my hand up for one. I couldn't even get it like.
And you need to do that in the office with Kedge to speak.
Well, obviously, that's how I run the team. Dictatorship.
I didn't even go into the office on Wednesday because I was that out of it, to be fair. I was working from home. But I couldn't get my arm past my shoulder.
He had to send in a letter from his mum, basically, for the next 2 days.
I couldn't work. But it was like, all right, all three of us have had jabs one and two. Yeah. This was just another, this was like another level of it. Like, you know, it was just...
You were not feeling well at all, were you?
I wasn't at all. And I was a bit surprised because I thought, all right, yeah, cool. I've had one in two. It's fine. I wasn't kind of, you know, I knew what to expect. But this just took it to another level.
So what is this one? Was this the Madonna?
The Madonna, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I'm a bit nervy about this. If I'm the first time ever where I've suddenly gone, I've heard a lot of people after this booster top-up one kind of say, A, they haven't felt very well.
Yeah.
B, you know, like I said, their arms... ached more than one and two did.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm just a bit like, am I?
Well, yeah, but you've got to get it done, innit?
You've got
to get it done. I might not get it done this side of Christmas in case I get whacked out for Christmas again. I lost last year. I don't want to lose this year.
It's a two-day, like, I've got to say, the next day I felt rough. The day after, I started getting better during the day, if you know what I mean. So it is, I think it's a day and a half that you really got to be like, okay, I'm going to film
it. I think it affects different people in different ways.
And that too.
So I was due for my booster this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And I was running along to get it done. It was on, when was it? Saturday. Saturday at 2 o'clock, running along. And actually, I was supposed to get it next week, but I managed to shift it earlier. I thought, let's just get it done and dust it early.
Good lad.
Got all ready, psyched myself up for it. Went down. Lady goes to me, sat down. Lady goes, you haven't had COVID or anything recently, have you? I went, yeah, I have. She was like, when? I said about 3 weeks ago. She was, oh, can't give you the jab, I'm afraid.
Oh, yeah, it's probably 28 days later, isn't it?
It has to be exactly a month from your first PCR test. I was like, are you having a laugh? And she goes, no. But luckily, guess what? The injections that day in my surgery were Moderna. And I'm like, that's for Sajjad. Thank God. Don't give it to me. I'm running, mate.
Oh, so you
the day before, the day before, they were the Pfizer ones.
Oh, really? So they switch every day?
So I was like, oh, and everyone who had, like, a couple of my mates had the Pfizer one the day before, they were fine. And then when it was my turn, it was Moderna. I was like, no, I don't need it. I don't need it. It's cool. I was like, why is it Moderna? All of a sudden, she goes, well, we don't, you know, control what gets delivered. I'm like, I'm coming back next week. So I didn't get it. What a palaver. I was all ready and dressed up for it. Didn't happen.
Oh, of course, because you wear the right clothing. You wear the
well, yeah. I'm not going to wear. I'm not going to wear a sweatshirt, am I? And then I have to just take all
he
my
wears
top.
He wears the leather Riddick Roshan top from Galhona.
Oh yeah, pick your hole, darling. Wherever you want to go,
streetwear sketch.
I wouldn't be surprised. He's in his little sleeveless leather number.
Well, let me tell you about the Christmas party that I did go to, because you were talking about Milo's birthday party.
Hang on a minute. When is your jab then? Have you got to wait a couple of weeks now?
No, it's next week. Next Saturday, 9 o'clock.
Ooh, okay. Kedge, be careful, bruv.
Well, I just got to be careful now, because it can either go Moderna or Pfizer. I don't know what's going to get delivered. I'm a little bit nervous. Let's just see how it goes. But, yeah, so I did have to go to a Christmas party last week. And it's probably the last one, because obviously the main work one, you know, you've been banging on, Tommy, about our work one. Why are you not going? Why are you not going? Well, because it's cancelled now. So,
Is it cancelled, Kedge? I never knew that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is it not filtered through to?
That's your job, Kedge. It's your job to let your staff know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's all right. Only the full time. Well, only the actual staff members got the email. The freelancers. Do you know what I mean? Don't really care.
Imagine if I turned up.
Yeah, wouldn't know where to though.
All dressed up in his tux, ready. Yeah,
exactly.
But what do you call it? So that work one got. But obviously, Chris Evans had his little private little shindig just for the breakfast team, and it was all a Secret Santa thing. Guess where it was? It was very posh.
Oh.
Well, I say posh. I mean, we wouldn't really go there.
Well, of course, it would be posh. Go on, it'd be probably somewhere in Chelsea.
It was in Fulham.
Close. Yeah,
we had to walk past Chelsea's ground in James Blunt's pub.
Oh my God. Of course it was.
Of course it was. You know, it's just normal. Where else would we go? James Blunt's pub. And then, so we get in there. It's all a bit nice, kind of, you know, like one of those sort of old school pubs, but it's quite nice, like low ceiling and all of that kind of thing.
Was it beautiful?
It was beautiful, and so it was beautiful. Actually, there was a lot of those jokes going on, and then we sat down and everything like that. It was all name placed and everything like that. It was all proper, and I was intrigued, because there was this there was your name tag, and then it had three bits of stuff on it, which only then I revealed through the course of the lunch was that was actually your menu, so the people knew what to serve you. And the first thing was velouté. Who knows what velouté is? I had to Google that. I mean, thank God I wasn't the only one who had to Google it. Do you know what velouté?
Football player?
No, it's not. No, it's a soup. It's like a mixed vegetable soup, but it looks like a mushroom soup. It's well nice. Never had it in my life, but it was well nice with a bit of bread. You know me, I was just dolloping the bread in. It was nice. It had a little bit of pepper. There was no Tabasco, so I had to make do without that.
Did you ask for another bread roll? I always think, like, because they give you one bread, because I always want the second, because you're hungry then.
Were you scared to?
I wanted to, but there was no chance to, because there was so much alcohol flowing. You were just, do you know what I mean? So I was like, let's not do extra. I mean, ideally, yeah, I'd love to have had bread, but there was just no time to eat, because it was just loads of tequila, just non-stop tequila.
Oh, wow.
And that's how he rolls. Anyway, so Chris gave me a Christmas present.
Oh, hello.
And it was a card and an envelope. And he goes, don't worry about the envelope, like the main present. He goes, just open the card. He goes, because I want to see your reaction. Now, you know when someone says that, you think, oh, God, like, I'm going to have to give a reaction now. Do you know what I mean? Because this is Chris Evans. He's waiting there.
Put on the show.
Yeah. And he wants to see a reaction. And I was like, oh, God, Kedge, right. Make sure it's your best reaction. So I opened up the card and I read his message. Merry Christmas, all that. And it was like a piece of paper in it. And it was folded. I thought, oh, you know that already thinking, oh, I'm going to, because the card has been made by his son.
Okay,
and I thought,
yeah.
Right, so I thought it's going to be a, it's a very good card. And I thought, oh, the inside of this is going to be something maybe from his children. So, you know, like, obviously, you've got to really go for it big because it's, it's for them, it's their pride and joy. Do you know what I mean?
Kids' effort.
So I thought, right, Kedge, come up with a big reaction now. Whatever this is, it's going to be maybe a drawing of you or something.
Did you cry?
Well, yeah, maybe. So I opened it up and I'm looking at it and I'm reading what it is.
Yeah, what is it?
And I said those two magic words that you do with when you're really annoyed with people, and that's, you know, begins with F and O. And I said, F O, Chris. And he went, well, what if you just say Merry Christmas and give me a hug instead? And I was like, well, I can't even move at the moment because I've just read what you've given me.
Yeah.
He's basically got me a place in the London Marathon.
Oh shit.
Brilliant. Wow. Okay.
No, that is a great gift. That is a great gift.
Great gift.
No, because now you're breathing through your nose and
breathing at all at that time.
You know what? You're the perfect guy. Because you know what I think Chris Evans has realized? It took him a lot less time to do it than it did for us, Satch, is to kind of go, this guy's full of shit. Right?
Yeah, he is.
This guy's full of it. Let's see what he's got. Let's see what he's going to do. Coming in. Oh, yeah, yeah. You drink water sitting down. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. All this brief, you know, all these kind of, coming out with all these kind of Indian methods. Probably, they probably see him as like the healing doctor in the
office. Of course I am, yeah. Who walks out in his lungi.
And actually, you know what? On a side note, I think as much as I think it could be a semi-stitch-up, I think it's actually very good for you. If anybody out of us could run the marathon, it's you.
Well,
if anybody could
put that run the marathon,
he can. No, he can. No,
I don't think he can.
No, I'll tell you why he can. Because he's stubborn enough.
Yeah, no, I get that. I don't think he could do that. That's a big ask.
I'll be honest with you. My dad has been on the phone to me so many times, already worried about it. And I think if he's got his way, he's going to have ambulances like following me as I'm doing it. Because he, like you, Satch, he's going, are you sure?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I
know he loves running, and I know he runs every day, and he breathes through his nose, and eats
all of that
every day.
I did 5K, and then I thought, how many of these do I have to do? And by just thinking of it, I thought, I'm going to die. Like, even just today, I was pretending that people were clapping and shouting for me, because I thought, that's the only way I'm going to get back home, and I was only doing 5K.
And it's like, you've got, when is it? So what, September?
It's October.
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 And hasn't Chris got that book out? So 1 year to run the marathon.
So, no, it's not 1 year. It's like 130 days or something like that. I'm going to get that book.
So as long as you're within, so long as you get the book and are on that. Wow. So the book is like a daily guide, daily countdown to running the marathon.
Yeah, so it's like a journal. You keep
what you got to do every day.
Yeah, and it's not even every day as well, apparently. So Chris has already said, like, some days you rest, and he goes, this is Chris's way of doing it, and he's done 10 marathons. So I'm thinking, he goes, Kitch, if I can do it, you can do it. And I'm just like, my God, I mean.
Are you going to do it?
Yeah.
He has to do it.
I have to do it.
You have to either do it or leave the company before next October.
I've got to do it. And I think Tommy is right in a way that I was kind of building up to this. Like, what next? Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, I've been running for years now. This had to come at some point.
Yeah. And I also think, because of, if you don't mind me saying, I've said it before.
You're going to do it.
Because of his grammar school upbringing, I swear it makes a difference. Kedge has got.
I don't think he's got to do with school.
No, listen to me. You know, for a fact, you've got a studious approach to everything. Fantasy football, you know, let's break it down. Let's have a look at the method. Tom, you know, TV show.
He ain't doing that great in that anyway.
No. I'm not saying. I'm not saying he's going to break a record. I'm not saying Mo Farah's crapping himself right now.
Zero effort.
Quaking in his Nike boots.
But I think you'll go, right, okay, if I'm going to do this, let's work backwards. This is what I can do. Okay, as long as I can run 5K by then, 10K by then, 15K by then, 20K by then.
How many K is 26 miles? I don't think that's a lot of K, isn't it?
I think it's about 40, isn't it?
My God.
Okay,
the most I've ever learned.
I'm going to ask you again. I'm going to ask you again. Are you sure about this?
I think because we're still in 2021, I'm sure.
Okay.
Right. Let's get to 2022 and then we'll reassess the situation.
We'll have an update, I'll say, about March.
A big part of it, though, Kedge, is the mental factor, right? Because you've got a zone to it. And I think you're quite easily distracted by crowds and bells and whistles and
you know, and you, on the side.
I'll be there. I'll be there at the finish line. I'll tell you, I'll be there.
That's good to know.
No, because I don't want to miss your pathetic piss yourself face. You know when like, because they
I might have pissed myself already just getting to the end.
You can't control anything. I've had... We've all heard, if you've never heard, by the way, the David Goggins podcast talking to Rich Rolls, you've got to listen to that one because David Goggins talks about how his shins have split, like cracked, fractured. He was unable to control his bowels. He's pooed into his lycra, but he just runs ultra marathons. And he's
done that already, though.
that's just on 5K.
He saw the present and he got the gift.
Honestly, that was exactly what happened.
Wow. So, Tommy, you're going to go,
came straight out, didn't it?
Yeah. you're going to go cheer him on then, yeah, Tommy?
No, I think we should.
Whoa, we.
Oh, yeah,
you said you. Bye bye. I'm not going on holiday.
It's what we do. We'll be at the start line. We cheer him off where he goes, right? We'll go and have lunch. Lovely.
You've got at least about four hours.
I ain't having lunch for 5 hours. Honestly.
Bruv, we'll go for lunch, we'll go for dessert, we'll go watch a movie, and then we'll go back right to the end. And we'll
the next day.
he'll be that guy. You know when you get the story, like, and 3 days later, Kedgel is still finishing off.
Yeah. Crawling, mate. Crawling.
No, Kedge, good if you do it. Like, it's a big achievement if you can do it. But, good. I mean, to be fair, now you've just been pushed in, so you kind of have to get on with it.
Yeah, I haven't got a choice, really. I was going to tell you on the day, and I thought, you know what, it'd be better if I just tell you on the podcast just to get your reaction. And you gave me the exact reaction that I was expecting.
I think your big thing should be you got to beat Chris. You got to beat him.
Why?
That's not going to happen.
Beating Chris.
Yeah,
you've got to get around it first, mate.
No. Yeah. This is Hamilton
without
versus
cheating.
This is Hamilton versus Verstappen, and you're our Hamilton. we don't want old Verstappen to.
What we'll do is when we get to the end, like the last, because it's 26.275 or something, isn't it? It's that final 275. When we get there, and if he's miles ahead of me, we'll just tell him to wait, and then we'll just go, come on, let's sprint it now. Let's go for it.
Yeah.
And I'll take your legs out first, Chris, and then we'll see who wins. Basically.
I can probably, because you're quite slim, I could probably see you being that guy, you know, towards the finish line where their knees go and they're all a bit wobbly. they're like Bambi and they're like
skating on ice.
Yeah, just trying to get across it.
God, imagine what you're going through though at that time. I mean.
No. Unless you're prepared for it, your body is in absolute state of shock, breakdown, and I don't know what else. It's just...
I'm already thinking about what I'm going to have as my final meal before I go to the run. Is it going to be pasta? Is it going to be desi? Is it going to be Italian?
It can't be desi, bruv, because you're going to poo yourself on the way.
No, you won't.
You need good, clean power. But you'll know by then because you would have done 10, 15 marathons already in your training.
Yeah.
So you'll know what fuels you right.
You would have done it 10 times before you actually run it, Kedge.
No.
Apparently, you don't run the full marathon in training. You only do up to about 15 miles, and that's
You're never prepared. Imagine that in exam. For your mocks, don't do the full exam. Just do half of it and leave it. And then on the exam day, you get freaked out.
I think one of his challenges then... on the way to the marathon, Tommy, he's got to run to your house one day for the podcast.
Easily.
I think that might be, how far is it? I think that might be one of the runs.
Yeah, it must be about 15 miles.
Yeah, sure. A4 or 6.
You don't have to drop your own.
No.
Run back.
You can sleep over. I tell you what, do this, right? Go eat your pronte, run to mine, see how you get on. Then eat my pronte and run back. I bet you could run all day. You probably run around the M25. Take the long route.
I'm still thinking a pronte might be the better fuel.
Yeah. I saw a TikTok this week. I don't know why someone sent it to me. Of this big muscly black dude kind of go, yo, if you wanna bulk up, yeah, you gotta have these parathas. You gotta have these parathas.
Parathas.
Yeah, and they were pre-packed ones, but he'd obviously just discovered them. And he goes, these things, like, they're like this many calories. If you're looking for bulk, looking for size, you do this, you train. He goes, plus, he goes, it, and this is how he described it.
Go on.
He goes, because, you know, it's interesting. A paratha, what's it like as a taste? He goes, man, it's like a cross between a donut and a croissant.
Oh, my God.
No, it's not, bruv.
He goes, but it's a savory version of a, did he say a piece of bread and a croissant or something like that? He said something and a croissant. And he's like, man, it's big, it's buttery. And I think there's nothing better than that. It's butter for your joints. It's carbs. So, you can't go wrong.
Very quickly then, Kedge, was that the only present he gave you? Was that it? Or was there something else like wrapped up in a box? And was there anything
else? That was it.
What did you get him?
I got him a Succession t-shirt, which it says it's all about the family.
That is a dead present.
It's all about the family.
And and Chris always bangs on about the family, but this is obviously a play on his favorite show as well.
Very good.
The only thing is he didn't come on time, so I've got to still give it to him.
Yeah, after Christmas. You ain't going to see him now anyway.
Talking about timings and racing and finish lines, it's just on my mind. I don't actually get what happened this weekend with Lewis Hamilton. Well, and can someone just explain?
It's fine.
Because I thought, and my Chris God. Is into his cars. He must have been talking about it. He must have been
going on. Chris, it was. To be fair, I was. I don't know anything about F1. I don't care. But I watched that. I literally, I put it on and it just happened. They went, oh my God, there's a crash. And then I watched it from there and I was like, oh, this is good.
You switched on at the right moment, Kate.
I know, because let's face it, who cares about the other 50 laps?
Oh, no. You have to have it on, honestly. I agree, the best parts of the race is the beginning sort of 10 laps and then sort of end.
Well, no, just the beginning, because you get a crash.
Well, not really. This guy smashed his car up on the sort of like last fifth lap or something.
Yeah, five to go.
And then he had an accident.
So all I know is in the build-up to this, Hamilton versus Verstappen thing is that it was all over the news and it was on like mainstream news. You know, when mainstream radio shows, because I'm running around, driving around, doing bits in the car, in the van. I picked up a cross trainer on Friday night. I picked up a new cross trainer. I'm quite excited about that. So I hired a van to go pick that up and I'm listening to the radio and they're all talking about F1, 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 F1 across all shows. And you realize, why? This is everywhere. It's in the news, on the telly. And you're like, and that's when you think, oh, okay, there's some marketing people behind this that are pushing this big finale. But they're saying actually they're tied. Lewis and him were tied. They're going to be funding. Is it in Abu Dhabi?
It was in Abu Dhabi.
The decider in the desert. It was like a boxing match.
This has never happened in all the years that I've been sort of watching.
I think it was on the verge of farcical.
No, in the sense of I'm talking about even the way that this season is got before the last race. It's never been where two races have been on the same points going into the last race.
Correct.
Because usually Abu Dhabi, even when I been out there to DJ, it's been a bit of a pointless race because it's the last one of the season.
Done and dusted.
It's done. The season's done. Lewis has probably won it. Well, he did win all of them. So
what happened in this one?
So what happened, I think it was the fifth from the last lap. There's five laps to go. One of the other cars crashed. A safety car came out when the safety car comes out, you can't overtake. So Lewis was at the front, but you can do a pit stop. So Max went in to the pit to change his tyres. So he's on some, I think it was like
soft tyres.
Soft tyres. So he kind of had that advantage and he came back out the pits. And then it was a bit weird where
I'll just add, the reason why having soft tyres is an advantage for that is because Lewis had hard tyres and while that practice car's out, his tyres go cold.
Cold.
So therefore, he needs loads more time to warm his tyres up, whereas this guy's got
soft tyres, bang, ready to go.
He can move faster.
Yes.
Carry on.
And it was a tactical sort of thing. So when the safety car went off the track, eventually all the cars were bunched up together. So Lewis didn't have his lead of whatever it was, like 5 seconds or something that he was. And then it was basically a race to the end. It was one lap to go. Max had the better tyres, warmed up, and he basically just went round him on the last lap.
Okay. So what I heard was, so Lewis is well in the lead. He's leading.
Yeah, he was well in the lead. I even saw the headline.
At one point, he was at 15 seconds ahead.
When I was looking at the because I was following on, I didn't watch it. I was following on Twitter and I was looking at all the updates and it was like already people were saying, yeah, Lewis has won. He can't muff this up. I think it was like eight laps to go and all the headlines already. Lewis has won his last one, blah, blah, blah. And then this accident happened and it sort of
What the, and then I had what was unusual, the bit that I don't watch F1 at all, so I don't know. But what they said was unusual was the fact that they allowed those cars that had been lapped, that were in between Lewis and Verstappen. So Verstappen's behind, but his car's in the way because these are the cars that have been lapped, right? Verstappen's still second, right? But they allowed them to unfold or unlap themselves, something like that, where they can basically come out. And that's where the safety car comes out, effectively getting them out of the way, so that Verstappen could then race
him. They have to go back into the order. Yeah. They have to wait until everyone going back into the right.
The reasoning is that, okay, look, you lot don't count, so you just get out of the way. But that is unusual. That's what I've heard, that isn't a normal thing to do.
Mm,
and the fact they did do that, which then, and obviously he had the change of tyres and all that kind of stuff.
No, but I don't know. I think that could have happened. But I think the key thing in this is when it happened. It was the last lap. Whereas if this was something 20 laps to go, pretty normal. Do you see what I mean? And it's just like, yeah, cool.
It was done more for a spectator show. Do you see what I mean? It was like, let's just make it a little bit exciting. It was just still a farcical. So it's a farcical decision. Yeah. And I just don't think that, you know, so they need to sort this out.
Is it a bit like this, right? Is it a bit like this? We're at a buffet, right?
Yes.
Sketch, me and you are at a buffet. We want to get served first at the buffet. Satch is DJing, right? Satch is DJing. I got to the party early. I'm Hamilton. You're Verstappen. Right.
I
get to the party early. I get the table near the buffet.
Right.
Satch gets on the mic. Ladies and gentlemen, the buffet is now open. The buffet is now open. Right.
I don't talk like that, but yes.
Yes, it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, please make your way. What did they all say? The dinner is now being served. If you could please kindly make your way to the.
Yeah, let me see your hands. Let me see your hands in the air. They do. They love that one. They want to see hands. I don't know why. Yeah. DJs don't trust anybody's hiding their hands. Anyway, so Satch announces it. Satch goes, the buffet's open. And then it's a race, kid. Just imagine it's a race. Who's going to get served
first?
Right? I've queued up. I'm at the front. There's a few aunties behind me, and you're behind the aunties, Kedge.
Oh, yeah. Right?
But in order for me to get in that place, when I got to that front, my plastic tray got a little bit busted. So the plastic tray is my tires, right?
Okay.
So it's leaking. That's a little bit busted. So I'm like, oh man, I've got to be careful the way I'm pouring my sub G because it's
all over the place.
So I have to slow down a little bit to pour the food, right? But Kedge, he didn't rush, right? You got yourself a brand new tray. You're at the back of the aunties, but then you have a word with Satch, or Satch has a word with you, or maybe because you work together, he likes you. I don't know, right? And then Satch goes, by the way, all the aunties now sit down. Don't worry. We'll bring your food to you, aunties. They go, we'll go sit down. Kedge now with his fresh plastic tray comes up, bosh, bosh, bosh. Before I know it, he's pouring the kid. He's got his glove jumping on the plate. He's got his salad. with my crack tray.
And he's world champion.
Taking it. So there was no point. All that graft I did to get myself into that pole position for the buffet.
Yeah. All that planning.
Was undone because basically.
Yes.
Satch has done you a little favor by taking out the aunties.
Yeah, because Satch was the controller of the queue.
Do you know the name of the guy who was the controller, by the way? Because it's going to make you laugh, because it made me laugh. I know what his name is anyway, but you guys don't, because you don't really.
I do, but go on, Tommy.
His name? I haven't got a clue.
It's always this person that always has a problem. His name was Michael Massey.
Michael Massey.
Massey stitched everyone up, mate. Trust me.
So I told you,
and your example, DJ Massey.
Yes, of course.
DJ Massey ruined the queue.
It all links back. Oh my word. God. So there you go. Curveball. Okay, I get it now. Thank you. I understand what actually went on.
But can I say about the F1, there were so many people coming out of the woodwork that annoyed me because they were just talking about it. And I was just like, you don't even. Like, I was getting people in the group chat saying, oh, you know, Lewis lost. And I'm like, bruv, you know, no, you've never not even just guys, girls as well, like cousins and stuff. And I was just like, you don't even follow the F1. Like, just stop.
Where is this coming from? I don't. But the thing is, I feel like I'm one of the people. But it's just been pushed in our faces. But they did say, on a marketing level, they've got behind this F1 in a way they've never done before, meaning they're out to make Formula 1 sexier, younger, more having them people go heads, having the two drivers go head to head.
Because otherwise it's pointless because there's always one car faster than everybody else. So if you've got the best driver, you generally win.
I think I'm going to be there next year. You boys coming?
Oh, Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
I might be running the marathon.
All right, Tommy, you come in, or you're going to go and wait at the finish line?
I will be with you. I'll be with you. If it's in the same day, I'll be on the decks pretending to DJ. I'll carry your bags,
thanks,
man.
Thanks. Okay. God, you just gave him an invite to the F1, and Kedge is like, no, I ain't coming, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, I've got things to do.
Exactly. And actually, Kedge, I was thinking of you, by the way. You're on my mind because you said about your Christmas parties and all that. I want to share a story about veggie problems, right? Because this has caused a real hoo-ha. This is one for all the in-law massive out there, right? We know it's hard enough around Christmas time going for meals and stuff with your in-laws and with your family, right? It's just, they're two families. You don't know if they're going to get on. They're there kind of from you because of the connection. But here's a little thing. There's a woman who was vegetarian, already a problem. Kedge, already a problem.
Not really.
Not because she's a woman. I should point out the other part of her lifestyle choice.
Right? Yeah.
She identifies as a vegetarian.
Love.
No, she's a vegetarian. And she got invited to her in-laws for dinner. But the family, the in-laws, the mother-in-law, her mother-in-law, is only cooking steak. Proper meat steak.
Olé. Just steak.
Just steak and potatoes and other little bits and bobs that go with it. But the main is steak.
Steak.
So she's vegetarian. The mother-in-law knows she's vegetarian. The son pops his head up and goes, you know, mum, you know, she's vegetarian. Can we say something else? Mum says, no.
Ooh,
steak is what's on the menu.
Son has just died. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's other things. So, and I'll be honest, I feel for the son straight away. Awkward spot. Mother, torn between your mum and your missus now.
You know
your mum's doing a bit of a wrong one. She's being a bit of a wrong one, but you're like, oh man, this is now unnecessary hoo-ha in your life. And if you've been in that spot, then you know what it's like. You're like, man, why does it have to be this difficult? Anyway, so what his missus does, obviously, and she does the right thing. She thinks it doesn't take a lot of effort to make a salad or something else. I'm happy with a little bit of a tomato and lettuce salad with some chips. She goes, I'll be happy with that. But they were not wanting to do anything. So she cooked her own veggie dish, took it around
well
her own
done.
Veggie.
Well done.
Guess what?
Everyone
caused
wanted
a big hoo-ha. Caused even a bigger hoo-ha. They said, you're being disrespectful. Even the sister-in-law piped up and said, you're disrespectful bringing your own food to mum's house. And I think this, what is the root of all these problems? It's people being vegetarian. So just, you know what? Give it up. Give it up, people.
No, I'm going to stick up for the Indian vegetarian.
Drama. I feel
my
like
it's God.
I'm going to stop you there, Tommy, because it's not. I think that the mother-in-law is being really inconsiderate.
Yeah, and being a pain.
And she was being disrespectful to her because, I mean, sorry, but if someone doesn't eat a certain thing, then you get something else to sort of give them.
Guess, she wasn't saying that she just wanted a gold plated steak or anything like that, which is ridiculous. Exactly. I mean, it was just a bit of veginess.
A bit over the top.
It's torn the family apart. I'm saying
Christmas time, I always find it awkward because you get invited to, you know, these kind of lunches and meals and dinners and for vegetarian, you know. I mean, I don't like nut roast. I think nut roast is a waste of time. Who
I always
nut
see
roast?
That. I see that in every veggie menu.
It's disgusting. It's just disgusting.
Oh, what is it?
And like, you know, like this the Christmas party I went to, you know, vegetarian Christmas food is rubbish because I literally had like three bits of potatoes, which were the size of my head. And so there's only so much you can have of it. And then there was like Brussels sprouts, not eating that because there was no chili sauce. And then there was some sort of mushroom kind of.
Oh my God.
Pastry thing, and it was terrible because it had sweet potato. I was like, oh my God. And you know, like you're thinking, I need to eat something because the amount of tequila going in my body is, you know, it's not balancing out.
And what did you eat on the way home? Because you told me.
Oh, the BK veggie whopper is brilliant. Chips. Because it was supposed to be lunch. We didn't finish till 10 o'clock.
Is the veggie whopper, by the way, is it like something that looks like meat or is it like a veggie patty thing?
It looks like meat.
Okay, and you're right with that.
Well, that's exactly what I said to him, Tommy.
But it's weird because it looks like those corn burger things.
Bob, it looks like a beef burger.
But you know that BK used to do a veggie whopper back in the day. So I'm always used to eating
it. You're okay with
it. It's just fine because you get big chunky onions in there, big chunky tomatoes, and it was
lots
just
of lettuce,
like,
mayonnaise, exactly, sauce,
and
you
just
ketchup.
Needed something, and I just needed it. So I thought, yes, that was it. Hang in the next day, and then Satch had to deal with me.
See, I genuinely feel for vegetarians. I feel for vegetarians at this time of year. And you're right, the nut roast is nasty. I see it on every veggie
just
menu.
Just don't make it and don't offer it. It's just, there's got to be, someone's got to come up with a vegetarian alternative to nut roast.
My veggie pie, man. It's the one.
So what's the meat roast? Or what is the, why nut roast? Who made that?
Yeah, and I don't get it because it tastes of like it's a combination of nuts, kind of made into like a weird cakey thing.
Oh, and it's just dirty.
And it smells a bit funny.
No, but what
well.
I'm trying to say is normally that would have come from a meat roast or something.
Yeah,
like what's that derived from? What meat dish does that come from?
Like that spam or what do they have in America? Pot roast. That's what they call it. But it's in a pot.
It's like
minced up meat. The all the rubbishy bits.
All the trash.
Into like a little pack of it all, like a rectangular tube, and then just roast it up. I mean, then sliced up.
Pieces.
Yeah.
What would you like then on your as a Christmas menu? Go on.
Isn't it? I'm just not into the Christmas food. I'm just like, what can you eat as a vegetarian? Unless you're going to give me, I don't know, paneer pakora in blankets or something.
Well, that's not Christmassy.
No, paneer in blankets. That's fine. I could deal with that. You know, just...
Well, what would you have with your blanket, though?
Where's your blanket? Yeah, exactly.
The blanket can be...
Barn leaf.
Yeah, spinach leaves or something, you know. I'm happy with that. But it's just... I think there's such a window for vegetarian chefs to come up with a proper, decent English menu for vegetarians, which is actually a bit decent.
Yeah.
Because I think it's
you can have your dauphinoise potatoes and things like that.
Yeah, like I said, I had three of them. The size of my head. I mean,
yeah, but that's a sideman dish, isn't it?
It is a sideman dish. And even like you know, and because gravy as well, it's just dirt. And then you know, you need a bit of chili sauce. You need a bit of flavour in there. Was you know what? I had to put so much pepper on this stuff because there was no flavour in anything. It's terrible.
You are an Asian man.
I'm so desi. I'm sorry. I don't like eating bland food. Lunch. I'm really sorry. I'm not acclimatized to that.
The thing we've learned is Kedge is Scrooge around Christmas with food.
He's Scrooge and he's also unappreciative of very kind, thoughtful gifts.
Exactly.
And his own gifts don't arrive on time. I'm just saying.
There we go.
Sums him up. Right. Things we've learned. Shall we do it?
Things we've learned.
The thing I learned is... So on the tube, when you're at the station, you must have sometimes heard classical music playing in the background and you're thinking, why are they playing classical music? Like, why not anything else? Like, you know, it could be any type of music, could be a bit of R&B, could be a bit of old school, but they've specifically picked classical music. And today I found out the reason why they do that. And it kind of made sense to be quite honest with you when I did find out.
Can I guess?
Go on.
Is it stimulating to brain development and therefore makes you feel smarter about your day?
Well, no, but you were kind of along the right track before you said the
before you started speaking.
No, he was there. The mind thing, yeah, great, and then he went off on one. But it's to basically curb antisocial behaviour and crime. Because it just soothes the person.
Shut up. Is that really the answer?
Yeah, no, that's the answer. That's the reason why they're... I was thinking about it. I was like, oh, yeah, I suppose that music does do that to you. It soothes you.
No, I don't want to make you...
What, are you going to start fighting to classical music, bruv?
You watch any film and all the murders happen to classical music. It's like, that's not classical.
That's like sort of emotional music to go and kill someone.
Yeah, but it's done by classical instruments. It's strings. Yeah,
but that's different, isn't it? That's like...
No, not like that kind of music, Tommy. It's not like thriller music. Classical, like Beethoven and all of that. Mozart.
Yes.
Bach, Handel.
The stats are, within 18 months, robberies dropped by 33%. Assaults on staff were down by 25%, and vandalism went down by 37%. So the music makes a difference.
Yeah, but I don't think someone will go down and think, "Yeah, bruv, I'm going to jack." Oh, what's that? Is that Mozart? Oh, fam, I love this. And then there's someone like, "Hey, this is my jam."
No,
and then
get all distracted. No, but like a lot of the underground, like when you go to Europe, is they always play Bella, Joe, 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 no, da, 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 da.
But that makes you want to rock something.
And it just makes you happy. And it's just like, oh, yeah, money heist. Whoa. And you start bouncing and you're like, oh, I don't want to smack that bloke in the head anymore because I'm feeling happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the reason why they play classical music. And I thought that was pretty interesting. I like that.
That is good. Okay.
I mean, it'd be different. Say, for example, you went on you got off at Oxford Circus on the Central Line and you heard a bit of Bangra. You know, what mood would that put you in?
Oh, man.
Bit of the old Hussein Puri.
Yeah, exactly. I think that could motivate people to walk the stairs. They go, if you walk the stairs, you get to hear the Bangra song of your choice. You get some Bangra Garage, get some Bangra Anthems, you get a bit of, you know, something classic. Go. you can hit the button. You've got to make up the top before the track ends.
No, that's just kedging his headphones when he's going into work.
Definitely.
As you mentioned, the money heist, I just thought the Squid Games. Have you seen that? The kind of, is it TikTok or filter thing where you can have to cut out that biscuit with your nose?
Yep. Brilliant game.
That is a brilliant game. Because you have to go around the umbrella, around the star, around all that, with just using your nose on the screen. I just think that was a great little game. Anyway, but the thing I learned this week is don't be surprised if when you're next in Australia that you see people walking their cat on a leash.
Wow.
That's right. You heard it first. In Australia, they are banning cats in certain parts of Australia from just going around freely, like cats do. Forget that cat flap, kula dula, come as I go, as I please, and making the dog feel bad. Imagine if you're a dog at home right now, you're going, how come she gets to just go out like that? They're like, oh, because she's a cat. Well, that's not fair, is it? Right? So the dog's on a leash and all that, but they're saying, actually, there's a real practical reason for this. They said dogs used to roam the street in the 70s. That doesn't happen anymore. Now cats have to be on a leash because they're a danger to wildlife.
Ooh.
And this is the fact. Urban cats, that's houses, that's cats in that stay in houses, in people's houses, they kill 30 times more wildlife than adult cats in the bush.
Bruh.
Adult cats out in the wild in Australia.
That's a stat, isn't it?
That 30 times more, these urban cats, because urban cats, like you say, they don't have classical music playing in their houses.
No.
They get all killing ideas.
Yeah, they listen to drill and grime.
Yeah. They got some gangster got vibes going on, right? And says domestic cats that aren't allowed to roam.
West Coast.
Representing, right? Yeah. With their three paws. domestic cats that aren't allowed to roam live longer and live healthier. So cats on a leash from now on. That's going to become a thing. Remember what you heard first. I learned
that. Look out for that. And from Australia, we jump over to New Zealand because our friend, the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, has now
what?
That
what? Auckland. Jacinda?
Jacinda Ardern. She's now that New Zealand are lifting their lockdown restrictions, she has now confirmed that Tinder liaisons have reopened and groups of 25 people are allowed to take part in activities once again.
Okay, so you can take you Tinder liaisons. Is that a thing?
Tinder,
like, yes. Yeah, like Tinder. But why 25 people?
Oh, okay, I know what you're saying.
You know,
group activity.
Oh, it's not about the winning; it's about the taking part.
But does that happen on Tinder?
What? I don't.
I thought Tinder was just swipe left, swipe right. You can meet up, go on a date. Who's in your area?
You might swipe 25 times.
There might be a special hidden button. Get you other doors.
Okay, I know we're trying to be gentlemanly and skirt around the deep.
Absolutely.
But are you basically saying here that you could on Tinder you can get 25 of you together that all like each other and see. See what kind of dishes
and now
can
that, and, make and, and together. Now that, yeah, exactly. And now lockdown restrictions have been lifted. Yeah. It's not about the winning. It's about taking part.
I think that's quite unsafe with the new variant coming out.
Well, they're coming out of it. They're coming out of them. They've lifted their restrictions. And this is, the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ben Ardern, allowed it.
She said you can go and do that.
Yeah, yeah. She's confirmed.
It's an interesting number, though. 25. I mean, you need one big room, or is that over several rooms? Like, practically, how do you manage that?
Wherever you can fit 25 people into.
And also, one person chilling by themselves. That's not a pair.
Yeah. Oh, that's awkward.
That's why you have to. That's why you have to care and share, isn't it?
Can you do that? I'm not sure. Listen. And on that note, I think before we get into any more trouble, I think we should allow it there. Thank you very much, Kedge. Thank you very much, Satch. And thanks always for your emails and your messages into the podcast. hello@thebrownlow.com. Drop us a little line. Have a good one, and we'll see you next week. All nice, safe, and well. Laters.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.